Hello and welcome to Clever Content, a podcast from Content OD, a content agency based in Sheffield. This is where we talk about content related news, events and other stuff that's caught our eye. I am Ian, I should tell you that first, but I am joined by Tom. Hi Tom.
Hello Ian.
Digital manager.
Head of digital.
I can't apologise enough. What's a digital manager?
Probably exactly the same thing.
Have we met?
Just 10 months ago, yeah.
Digital manager is the way you insult a head of digital.
Indeed.
I call them a digital manager.
And that's the voice of Dave/David Moore.
Hello.
We are going to be talking about kind of about tone of voice. We're going to be talking a little bit about BS bingo. I realise that we can't probably say the actual word, so we're going to kind of...
I think we might call it good, bad bingo.
Good, bad bingo.
We'll decide on that later.
All right, okay. So we're going to have a little game of that. And basically, it's the chat is about the tone of voice and kind of knowing your audience. We've talked about this on previous episodes, but that idea of whether what you create... How does it relate to the people you're actually trying to reach? And we're going to use a very specific example. Shall we dive right in, as
yeah.
people say? So the example we're going to use, and we mean no ill will to Lucky Trip, which is an app that I hadn't heard of before. Do you know about Lucky Trip?
I've never heard of
it.
We're calling them out, are we? We're naming them.
I don't know if we're naming
Maybe
them.
Maybe we can bleep it out if we decide against it.
Oh, okay. All right, okay. I hadn't considered that. There's a chance they might not listen to it, so let's go for it. And I'm sure that whatever we have to say probably won't affect their bottom line. But the example we wanted to use, this cropped up, and it's actually Phil, who's been on previous episodes, who saw it and thought this might be something to talk about. But it's quite an interesting tone of voice. So Lucky Trip, as far as I can tell. Well, Tom, maybe you can explain what Lucky Trip is.
Okay, so Lucky Trip is an app where essentially you set a budget, press a button, and I think it churns back a destination or a suggestion.
I mean, churn suggests that it's quite literally a lucky dip. And so, presumably there's some kind of algorithm going on that should be quite a good match.
I would imagine so, yeah.
You would hope so, especially if you were booking a holiday. So it feels like quite from a product point of view, it feels like quite a risky way to book a holiday. So if we think about an audience, who's that for? Does that idea appeal to you? We could do with a holiday this year, you might say to yourself, I'm just going to pop a budget in to a website, give them some very basic details and just let them decide. Does that appeal to you?
It kind of does to me at a certain point in my life, yeah.
Is it this point in your life?
Or no.
One of the reviews says, booked a trip to a city I'd ever heard of and it turned out to be one of the coolest places I've ever been. That does sound quite fun.
Yes.
It does, but maybe it's someone who hadn't heard of Paris or something like that. You just don't know who's using it, do you?
I think if I put in a budget... and some basic requirements, I might end up laser questing in Skegness.
Yeah, there is that danger, I suppose.
Well, I'd be relatively happy with that.
It's a good point, actually. They are showing like destinations like the Philippines and things there, which you would imagine
big budget.
Cheap.
Yeah, and the more you spend, the more you're going to want to be quite picky.
Indeed,
I think so. But it's an interesting idea.
It is an interesting idea.
A really interesting idea.
It's like Tinder for holidays.
I guess so, in a way. Is Tinder? Did you just get given someone to
go? I've been given a day.
I'm not sure you know how Tinder works.
Terrible analogy.
Anyway, so an interesting idea. You just go and press a button and you get given a holiday. But I wonder who that's for. So that's why interesting you say, David, that you might have been interested at one point. So I think there's probably a specific audience. I suspect it's probably a younger audience, which might explain its tone of voice. So let me read a couple of examples. So these are kind of, what do you call them? Not a review, but a description of where you're going to go. So here's one. Bathe in the lava pools. You know that sound a lobster makes when it's dropped alive into boiling water? Good news. That's not going to be you. Now, Tom, you laughed. So you've read this before. So maybe it's worked on you.
Was it that kind of laugh, though?
I think it's more of an awkward humor laugh.
Splash about in the natural volcanic pools at Porta Moniz. They flood with seawater, warm up in the sun, and seduce you with a sparkling wink. So that's not, I quite like that last paragraph. That's a bit more on it. How about music to evoke a despairing belief in a futile destiny filled with pining and hopelessness? And then why, though? That's the why. So not why is in the word, but they've written the letter why. Mm. Why, though? Very modern.
Very hip.
This is the saddest music your poor ears will ever listen to, but in a good way, I guess. Next one, kayaking. You're gliding along, birds singing from the cliffs, the sun caressing your skin, and then that gobshite Dave slaps the water with his paddle. Classic
Dave.
This
that
marina...
third one didn't sound too good, did it?
Well, this is... So, well, you're getting at my point. It doesn't sound... They're not really selling it in the way that we would normally expect a travel agency or somebody who wants you to buy their holiday. to do it. So that kind of tone of voice, it's quite an aggressive tone of voice in some ways. It's almost sort of it's challenging you. And I think in some ways it works because it's caught our eye.
Yeah.
I think it does grab
eye-catching.
It does grab attention. But what I wonder, apart from the audience, what I wonder about this is there a disconnect between that kind of tone of voice, which is almost kind of flippant about the places that that you could end up, and this risk that you're taking by just pressing a button and getting what I presume is an algorithm of some kind to choose your holiday for you. You would imagine, I would have imagined that it would the tone of voice would need to be much clearer, I guess, and much more positive about where you're going.
Or they're just flippant about your entire holiday.
Yes.
Like it literally is, we're going to send you somewhere you don't want to go. We're going to be honest about it. And this is what you're going to think of it when you get there, rather than the very astute algorithm, lots of details, lots of thought. It's going to be a perfect holiday. It's like, we're going to send you there and you're going to think the music's rubbish.
I think you're right, Dave. I just think for me, if I was making that kind of spontaneous decision and spending money on a holiday of any kind, really, I think I want to know exactly where I'm staying and exactly what it'd be like. They seem to be like the two main requirements for describing where you're going on holiday. And call me old-fashioned, but I kind of want to know the details, and I don't necessarily feel like that's the place for daft jokes. I think I'd feel like that if it was like a normal way of having a holiday, never mind one where I just press a button and hope for the best. But then again, so is it all about context? That's really what we're getting at here. Is it about context? For me, how important is the transaction that you're about to make? And this goes for any transaction, any kind of web content or anything where you're trying to get somebody to do something. Is there a context involved that makes it okay that it's maybe those two things that I want to line up, maybe don't?
I've done a little bit of research just on my very handy laptop and discovered that there is actually more of a process to it in a sort of, I don't know anything about Tinder, but a Tinder way that it suggests a pack and then you start swiping through things you want and don't want. And I wonder whether part of the copy is about grabbing attention and getting people to spend time on the site, because people are really enjoying the process of varying the budget, swiping through the options, and actually discovering that it's kind of getting quite a few rave reviews. But a lot of people who aren't particularly well traveled seem to be using it, that they're really excited. I would never have thought of going there. Quite sort of older people, like mid-20s, who've not been abroad before, and people talking about how easy it is to go abroad, the kind of things that maybe the audience here kind of take for granted, that we're kind of not seeing the benefits of that with something like this app. How the copy then relates to those kind of people, because you think they might need a bit more encouragement to kind of take that step, rather than
it is a
sort
bit
of things that are
dreamy,
like putting you off. But there's sort of something in that maybe that they did. Maybe they do know the audience, or maybe they just decided to put a stake in the ground and this is who we are and we'll see who comes along. It's hard to tell, isn't it?
Yeah, and to stand out from the crowd. So it's a very unique way of describing a holiday that you're trying to sell, yeah, I suppose.
We've all said that we wouldn't probably use this app at the moment, and I think we're probably not that taken by the copy. So it's maybe doing its job if it's kind of putting us off and attracting the people who would take that kind of trip at the moment. I don't know.
I think I would like to use it for inspiration and then go away and sort of do my own research, if that makes sense. I think it could be quite a useful tool for discovery, but I just, in the way that I do things, if I read that copy and assume they as a company don't take things too seriously, whereas if I'm on like a Thomas Cook or a Ryanair or something, and I know like the copy's a bit more like far from the beach or this far from there, I'm just a bit more likely to spend my money there rather than...
So I mean, if they're sort of a middleman for other people's packages, then it is all about attention. It's all about getting views and getting people to your site and your app. And it could be another way of, you know, TripAdvisor kind of rating things. Trip are kind of having fun and offering this sort of almost game-based way of booking your holiday.
I'm slightly changing my opinion about it now, the more we talk. I actually think maybe it's quite good.
Not quite well thought out. It's hard to say. I mean, like all these things, we speculate, don't we? We're forced to. But you can kind of see the kernel of something quite interesting there, that they might be making some smart decisions or they might be putting people off. Mm-hmm.
But
it's hard to say.
This is what we're kind of getting at there, isn't it? What we said at the start is about knowing your audience. If the audience for this is
absolutely
is frankly probably not us, you know, for me, I've got a young family, the chances of, you know, I need to know where I'm going and
organized to the second.
There's a lot of stuff needs to be in place for I go on before I leave the house at any given time. So this is not for me, but it could be that it is for others. I guess my argument as a copywriter is this context thing. So this particular bits of copy that we just read out, they're describing elements of the holiday. And that to me is where this kind of unusual, quirky type of this tone of voice, this is crucial to my transaction, me making a decision and knowing where I'm going and what I can expect. So I find it a bit frustrating. Mm-hmm. I agree that others might not. But if that kind of tone of voice was used elsewhere where it was less important, where the context was less about, you know, information that it was important to me, then that might be all right. And we've got an example from Innocent, who are kind of, they are the go-to people for copywriting. But just on the back of one of their labels on a drink of some kind, they have like rules for riding a dinosaur. And then it's one, never make eye contact with it. It gets very cross. Same goes for trying to pop a fez on its head. Number two, no heavy petting, obviously. Number three, in fact, don't even approach it. Forget we mentioned it. So just like completely off the wall, quirky copy on the back of a label. But that copy is not crucial to me deciding whether I buy the drink or not, because the rest of, you know, the bulk of the copy is like, what flavor is it and what color is it, which is probably the things that are actually on there. Less the color, more the flavor. So the actual details that are going to make me take that transaction, do that transaction, are clear. It's whatever flavor it is. It's apple and blackberry, and that's what I need to know. But the copy around it, this kind of dinosaur copy, is interesting and funny and eye-catching in the same way that the Lucky Trip copy is, but it's not crucial to decide to whether I decide to buy it or not.
So I think you might have hit the nail on the head, and it might be that business model, the copy isn't crucial. You're obviously an experienced writer and are helping people use copy to sort of create all kinds of things in the world and make people take action. And it may be that their app and sort of almost the gamification of booking a holiday is their entire business model, and the copy's very secondary to their product as far as they're concerned. Might even be kind of quite good PR that they just wanted to get people to the app. It could be, it's kind of making me think about the fact that you do read so much kind of positive copy when you're looking at holidays and where to go. It can get a bit inane that it's kind of, oh, this place is fantastic, this place is fantastic, this place is fantastic. And it might be a little bit of a breath of fresh air. And I think someone like you or I, it would be fundamental to whether I booked or not, what it says about what I can read in information about the place I want to eat or stay is one of my main decision makers. And maybe this business model, it's almost an irrelevance. Mm. It's part of the entertainment, it's part of the experience. The bit that's making your book is there. I don't know quite where I'm going. I can slide these things around. I can flick between pictures, and it's all a bit fresh and exciting. And I am the kind of person who could be a bit entertained by that, because I think that's the thing, isn't it? It's the sort of where it's the content of the copy versus the connection the copy makes. So I'm this kind of person, I'm enjoying time on here, I'll buy it. Or it's the details of what's contained within, that you've shared the information in a way that makes someone pick up the phone, get their credit card out, decide that's where they're going on holiday. So where it fits within their strategy is obviously really interesting, whether they're kind of just playing around and experimenting, or whether it's, you know, they've researched it and decided that this is the direction, is very interesting, which is all about your context.
Tom, has your mind been changed so much during the course of this last 10 minutes conversation that you've booked a holiday while we've been talking?
No, unfortunately not. I used it and it came up with Malaga, so I was a little bit underwhelmed with that suggestion.
What budget did you put in?
Definitely heard of Malaga before. £150. the lowest budget the app would allow.
Tom pushing the boat out again.
For one person.
I think there you go. That's sending the wife away, is it, or the partner.
I suspect that that's a one-way ticket and you may be living in Malaga from then
on. Two nights per person at the Santa Cruz apartments.
There you go.
Tom, would you like to introduce the game of, what did you call it?
I was going to call it Good Bad Bingo, but there's no bingo element. Let's just call it Good Bad.
Good Bad.
Good Bad game.
Go on then.
Right, so I'm going to read out some examples of copy and a context, and then we'll just have, you can just quickly tell me if you like it or you don't like it, I guess, so have a little conversation about it. So the first one is from Paddy Power. The copy, it's a sort of banner advert to get you to sign up, and the copy is, last one to sign up for a Paddy Power account is a twat. Sign up. It's got a little picture of Sepp Blatter with a squished red nose. What do you think? Would it make you sign up? Does it jar with you? Make you laugh?
Well, I mean, this is very much in keeping with Paddy Power's tone of voice. So it's actually probably quite a good example of tone of voice, because it's consistent with the rest of the branding and the way that their ads are intentionally provocative. It's not necessarily for me, but neither is gambling, really.
So that's the person to ask.
So, well, you know, but yeah. That's just the reality. But they're also, I think, going for like a younger male audience.
Yeah.
And I'm only one of those things. So I think that probably is effective, because it's, they've been doing it for quite a long time, this type of thing.
So spot on.
Spot on. In terms of like an example of a consistent tone of voice aimed at a specific audience, it's probably bang on. But in terms of actually capturing it, making me stop gambling is probably not going to do the job. But there we go.
Dave?
Yeah, it doesn't do anything for me personally, but I can see...
Bit rude.
...the quality of it. No, I'm quite down with bad language in advertising. I'm fine with that. I just, it's not my personal outlook that I'd be particularly attracted to that, but I would gamble. So it wouldn't put me off either, but I can imagine it works very well with a big proportion of the core audience. And I like the fact they're different and they do something different and they've got a strong tone of voice.
It definitely different.
It's just like my sort of subjectively, it won't be an ad that particularly appeals to me. Although it would be very eye-catching. I'd notice it. I'd know it existed.
It'd make me laugh, but not click, would be my summary of it.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think that's the thing, the context as well, about whether it's supposed to be making you sign up or whether it's just, you know, part of their identity.
Yeah.
Which I think is, they've got this very strong identity, haven't they? And it's like, again, it's the whole you're one of us rather than the motivating you to take a particular action at a particular time.
Two more to go. So the next one is a sign from a train toilet. We've got, please don't flush. Nappies, sanitary towels, paper towels, gum, old phones, unpaid bills, junk mail, your ex's sweater, hopes, dreams, or goldfish down this toilet.
I've seen this sign before when I was, well, you don't need to know what I was doing. and it did catch my attention, mainly because there aren't many other places to look in that.
Not much reading material.
In that context, unless you take a novel in with you, I suppose.
Yeah, you're never alone with a phone.
Yeah, it's quite, I was actually, I remember when I saw it first, which is probably a few years ago, I remember thinking, what an unusual decision by the train company. It seemed out of keeping. Again, so this is the opposite of Paddy Power in that it doesn't seem necessarily consistent. I don't know of any, maybe I'm wrong, but I don't know of any train lines that take particularly, you know, a light touch to their tone of voice or inject that much humour into their tone of voice. It's mostly fairly straightforward. I might be wrong. Maybe I'm using the wrong trains. But this seems to be, you know, a real, like a genuine attempt at humour in copy. And I just, when I see stuff like this and it surprises me, I often wonder what meetings happened for it to get there. What do you think, Dave? I quite like it. I mean, it does.
I think it's one of these where if I saw it in situ, I'd actually quite like it. It's different. There's something new to read. It's kind of a message you would normally ignore, probably. So I've seen it in this context.
New to read.
As in, it doesn't just say don't flush things around down the toilet.
Okay.
I've forgotten the novel.
So I wonder what you normally
I'm looking
read.
For something new to read. No, it's a different take on something we usually see. But I think in this context, it's hard not to look at these things and then feel a bit forced. You know, when you're sort of looking at it critically and looking at it out of context. Whereas when I come across these things in the real world, they actually normally do a little bit of a job. I will read them and sort of react to them positively. But when you start looking at them sort of copying how hard people are trying and when they're trying to do something different, it can feel a little bit of a turn off. Yeah.
I think it's probably effective in getting a message across, isn't it, in terms of what's meant.
Well, people read it and normally you'd ignore it.
Yeah.
I think even if, which is the thing again of even if it's something that doesn't appeal to you, like the Paddy Power language, or it's a style of hotel review that you wouldn't normally read, I think the purpose in there is people paying attention to the sign or not paying attention. And compared to a normal sign, people pay attention. But imagine if you don't sort of freshen it up every year, it soon starts getting ignored again.
So both saying good?
I am, but I'm going to be devil's advocate temporarily. This is actually it is a humorous message, but actually it's like a clear message. Like this is really important when you're on a train that you don't flush
and
nappies.
Every single item's on there. Yeah.
Nappies, sanitary towels, paper towels, and gum. So they're dead important that you don't flush them on a train, presumably for reasons I don't understand. But let's just say that is actually it's an important public service message. Does it actually distract you to have the rest of the items on that list? Because obviously old phones, unpaid bills, junk mail, all the other stuff is meant as a joke. But actually it takes up at least a third of that particular sign and it adds loads more words. And, you know, could you argue that there's actually a really serious public service message here that's being completely confused by adding...
Could have just said toilet roll only.
You could... So, well, there's another argument.
It's like last of summer wine, isn't it?
you can also say that actually there are... For something that where you really actually just want to give an instruction, even words like please are superfluous. So please don't flush nappies, sanitary towels, etc. down this toilet. That entire sign could just be don't flush. I don't know. Maybe you do need the list, but don't flush bad stuff down toilets. You could really simplify it and potentially make it clearer and more easily understood by the general public. Because I could also go on to things like, you know, because of the extra words, there are the text is smaller. So maybe someone's gone to the toilet and they are, you know, partially sighted and can't read as much as that. Maybe people can't.
So are you saying bad now?
Well, I'm just saying that
you talked yourself around.
I like it in the sense that it's, you know, it's slightly humorous and in an unexpected place. It's an unexpected piece of copy, which I quite like. So it catches the attention in one way. But in terms of an example of like actually trying to get somebody to do something, it's quite it's probably quite bad.
Okay. I think there's a big question, not question mark, but then that's all about copy in general. So obviously you go into that situation, sometimes it's only illustrations of people doing things, isn't it? They've chosen copy, and I'm sure we've done some work in the last year where we've kind of been looking at behavioural change and behavioural science and psychology and things, and I'm sure that someone from that world would have a lot to say about the most effective way to stop people flushing those things down the toilet. And it could be something, you know, the random things you see, like a photo of some eyes where there's a lot of fly tipping, and they find out it's more effective to have a photo of eyes than it is to have any signage because people feel like they've been watched.
Yeah.
That there may well be a non-copy solution that actually proves to be the most effective. So I think in the sort of the modern world, and as we move forward with these kind of things, it'll be interesting to see if people innovate when they actually want things to change, where they might bring in some psychology beyond kind of the historic, how many words do you use, what's the instruction, how are you getting people to read it in the first place.
The other thing to say is that this is, just to briefly describe it in more detail, so we have in red, big red writing, it says please don't flush, and then in smaller black writing we have the big list of items, and then at the bottom we have back in the red, bigger writing, down this toilet. But if you just had a quick glance at that sign, you might just read the big red writing at the top, which says please don't flush, and this is on a toilet. So you could easily
extremely messy,
you could end up back frankly backed up.
And this is what I really would be speaking about when I came to work today.
So the third one is kind of thrown mix. I don't think I put this in, but it's very good. Who put this in? The upside down Perry bottle.
I put it in.
Okay, so I'm going to read it out. This is a postpartum recovery device, we call it. And
yep,
I think
sure.
It's the initial copy that's probably the interesting part. The description of the product is, toss the hospital Perry bottle and get this bidet for your vajay. It's the mum washer for relief and postpartum care down there.
It might be Vajay, but I don't know.
Oh, sorry, I thought it was like Vajay.
I don't know.
I think
they found the voiceover artist anyway, if they ever want to do an ad. Beautiful, Tom.
I mean, yeah, there's all sorts of extra copy, but we'll put the link in the show notes so you can read through the rest. But just that initial bit, what do we think? Right for the product? Wrong?
This is exactly the kind of, I don't need the product, but it's exactly the kind of copy that I connect with. I don't know why.
Okay.
But it's kind of very conversational, slightly sort of, it's not hardly ironic, is it? But slightly knowing, but also trying to sort of make things accessible. I think there's several examples of this kind of copy, and it kind of works for me. I feel on board and ready to read what comes next.
Yes. I mean, I think
good friend Dave.
We should be honest and say that three men probably aren't the best people to talk about this copy, but I've got three kids, and I can tell you that some plain speaking is what's necessary sometimes. And so just actually saying what things are and what they will do to help you is all you want when you're in those weeks and days, weeks and months after having had a child. So this kind of copy, yeah, you're right, it's kind of knowing. It's kind of, but I think in a good way.
In a really good way, yeah.
It's not kind of over medical, using words that you wouldn't typically use. I would also say, point you to C-section mammas. So for women who've had a C-section, this is like a list of things that the product will do. Clean your vagina and incisions without pressure. That just tells you exactly what you need to know when you're in that position, I suspect. This is based on experience.
You said that it wasn't maybe for everyone in this room, but actually I think we've all obviously have experience of it. And I've found that when looking for men, will buy these products or will need to.
Sent off to boots.
I've often found that some of the descriptions of some of the pregnancy products have been kind of hard to understand. So for actually, in terms of doing its job, we'd all know exactly.
Yeah, you know what you're buying.
What you're buying.
You know what purpose it's serving. And
Yes.
So bang on then.
That's good.
I put this in just because I quite liked the plain speakingness of it. It's a product. It says exactly what it is. It's you know, quite a personal product, but it doesn't hide the fact that this is a reality.
It doesn't shy away from it, does it?
What it actually does, what this product does, is a reality faced by everyone who's had a baby.
Okay, good. I enjoyed that one.
That's it.
Yeah.
I think we're done. Everybody finished?
Yeah, all good.
Nothing else to say. If you want to subscribe to this show, that would be a tremendous idea. You can do that in Apple Podcasts. That's where a lot of people do this kind of thing. But you can do it in an app of your own choice too. Overcast is great on iOS and Pocket Cast on Android and the web and various other platforms is good too. Send us your feedback if you've got anything to say about anything we've said or any topics that you want us to cover in the future. That would be great. You can just email info@contentod.co.uk. If you want to go and listen to old episodes on the web, you can do that at the website, contentod.co.uk/podcast. And you can go to subscribe to the Clever Content newsletter too, which is packed, jam-packed, full of interesting links to content-related articles, videos and stuff compiled by our very own Tom. And that's it. Until next time.